Rishos Avi Mori, L'chvod Tana Rishon Baruch Hai. For those who don't get the emails, there was an official warning that was sent out tonight. I tried to spread the word that tonight's year will not be finishing at 10 o'clock as we usually do. Of course, anyone who needs to leave is welcome to leave at any point. I'm glad that people came out at all. And those who have to down Marv at 10, I understand. There's 10:45 Marv as well. I don't think we're going to have Marv meaning here afterwards, but we'll try to finish probably in about an hour. It's a little longer than usual. Again, please don't feel obliged to say. But whatever you stay for, hopefully you'll enjoy. Tonight's year, of course, is for Refuah Shleima, for Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkid, and Binyamin ben Blanca. Tonight's year, obviously, is our yearly Lag BaOmer year. And Lag BaOmer happens to be a tremendous day for Refuah. As Sfarim point out, the burial place of Rishon Baruch Hai, the Lechem Shlomo points out, that Meiron is Rashi Tevos, Melech Rofe Neman Verachama. That there's a certain healing power. Rabbi Yonasan Eifetz talks about it, many other great tzaddikim talk about it, the ability for a person to have a refuah. Specifically on Lag BaOmer, we know that we're in the week of Hod. Right? The week of the Sfiros, each week working on a different midah. And Lag BaOmer, of course, is Hod Shebahod. And the Sfarim explained, based on the Arizal, that when we say, in davening, Lekel Baruch Ni Mos Yitenu, the different 10 different expressions there correspond to the 10 different Sfiros. And the Sfarim say that the expression Borei Refuah is connected Hod. So if Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebahod, it's a tremendous day of Refuah. It's a tremendous opportunity for a person who's not well to have a Refuah. For people who are not blessed with children, to be blessed with children. Many famous stories about that. Of course, we're also in the month of Iyar, which the Sfarim point out is Ani Hashem Rofecha. Rosh Tevos Iyar, Ani Hashem Rofecha. And even the Ohev Yisrael brings down at the end of Vayikra, he says that even the secular month May has a certain healing power. When it comes to refuah, May, you can see over there what the Rebbe of Apta was implying by that. But again, it's a tremendous amount of refuah, so we hope that it'll bring refuah to those in need. Okay, this Motzei Shabbos, of course, is Lag BaOmer, Motzei Shabbos and Sunday, and obviously we know the Gemara talks about the 24,000 Talmidim Rebbe Akiva which stopped dying sometime this time of year, somewhere between Pesach and Shavuos. Later, Sfarim revealed that in fact took place in Lag BaOmer. And obviously that's one of the sources of our simcha. But obviously, a second dimension to our simcha is, of course, the celebration of the Hilul of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Yartzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Which is a very funny thing, because we think of Yartzeit, we don't normally think of a celebration. A person who has a Yartzeit for a parent is knowing to fast. The Shulchan Aruch says that when Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzeit rolls around, many have to practice to fast. So the question is, why all of a sudden is the passing of the Tzaddik, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a great source of celebration? So the Sfarim explained that on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's day of passing, he transmitted the secrets of the Torah to Klal Yisrael. He was given permission in a way that no one else in the history of mankind was granted, the Rishus to reveal the Sodos HaTorah, the Pnimius HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah. As he himself writes, as we have recorded in source number one of the Tikkunei Zohar, in the introduction, Kum Rabbi Shimon v'yischachun milan al yadcha. Get up, Rabbi Shimon, and reveal things through you that no one ever heard before. The Rishusa Islacha Legala Razin Tamirin. You are granted permission to reveal secrets. Madalo Isyahi Rishu Legala Lashumbar Nash. What no other person in the history of mankind was given permission to do. You have to understand, up to Rishum Bar Yochai's time, it wasn't that he created this. It's not that Pnimiya Satorah, Sodo Satorah were created by Rishum Bar Yochai. But the Kabbalistic tradition was a secret society up to Rishum Bar Yochai. It was passed from Rebbe to Talmud, kept in a very small group of people. And with Rabbi Shimon's passing, finally the world was given permission to tap into this koach on a much broader scale, to make it available and more accessible to the masses. And of course, as time has gone on, the Pnimiyas HaTorah continues to unfold. Right? It gets that much stronger and it gets that much more available to us as time goes on. Be it in the form of the Arizal, who codified, who made sense of the Zohar, and arranged a system of Kabbalah, his Talmud Rav Chaim Vital, who recorded his teachings, and of course with the founding of Chassidus and the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, they further expounded and expanded the Pnimiyas HaTorah to allow us to allow our lowly generation to somehow, in some strange way, tap into these very deep waters. So this is obviously, the Simcha that we celebrate on Lag BaOmer. The question is, why is it necessary that we have access to these things? Certainly there's plenty of other nigla, revealed areas of Torah. Why do we need the secrets of the Torah to become revealed? So I think the answer is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and what the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov and what all these great tzaddikim were trying to do for us was to give us a taste of Lasan Lama. This Sfarim talk about the Torah of Mashiach. That is one of the titles for tonight's shir. The Torah of the Geula, the Torah of Mashiach, the Torah of Lasan Lama. We know that when the world was created, the world was created with an or, a light. The Marisha and the Gemara says, was able to see Misofa Olam Batsofa from one end of the world to the other. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away that original light, which shone in the world for a mere 36 hours. We tap into it every Hanukkah with our 36 Hanukkah candles. But we try to hope to get that light back in the times of Mashiach. That tremendous light, that clarity, and that depth of understanding of Torah, that obviously a person who is longing for the Mashiach wants to taste. And again, this idea of the Torah of Mashiach, it's not a new concept. It's a concept we have already in Chazal. You look at source number 2. The Medrash Vayikra Rabba says, Amar Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei. Paraphrasing the Pasuk in Yeshaya, right? Torah Me'iti Teitzei. A Torah will emanate from me. The Medrash says, Torah Chadasha. A new Torah will come from me. You have to be careful. You know, you got to understand where the Christians ran away with this Pasuk. The New Testament, a new Torah. Chiddush Torah Me'iti Teitzei. What's this talking about? A new Torah. You look at source number 3, the Alkot Shemoni. Over there in Yeshaya, it says, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Yoshev V'Gan Eden V'Dorish. In the end of time, Hashem is going to sit in Gan Eden, and He's going to darshan the Torah, V'chol HaTzadikim Yoshim Lefanov, V'chol Pamal Yeshom Ma'ala Om Dema Raglayim. Everyone's going to stand around Him. V'cham U'mazalus Mi'am Mino Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sun will be on God's right, whatever that means. U'levanov V'chol Chavim Mismolo. And the moon and the stars to His left, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'Dorish Torah Chadasha, She'asid Litein HaYidei Mashiach. And Hashem sits there expounding the new Torah that He's going to give through Mashiach. This concept of the new Torah, and it sounds like a very dangerous concept. And the original Rebbe explains in his Sefer Irin Kedishin, he says, really, it's not a new Torah. It's a new understanding of Torah. It's a revelation of a depth of Torah that was there all along, but most people missed. Most of us didn't have the eyes and the depth of Neshama to see it. So He's going to reveal to us, when the coming of Mashiach, we're going to see a Torah in a way that it appears entirely new. I never saw it in that way before. That's the idea of the Torah of Mashiach. So if we ask ourselves, you know, how does this Torah compare to the Torah we study now? The Torah we study now is pretty gewaldig. So how can we compare? Can we even compare the Torah that we have now to the Torah of L'Asid Lava? And the answer is, you can't even compare. The Torah we have now is nothing. And again, it's a harsh thing to say, but it's nothing compared to the Torah of L'Asid Lava. And that's not my own, you know, biased judgment. That's what Chazal themselves say. If you look in source number 4 in Koheles Rabbah, explaining a pasuk in the 11th parak of Koheles, Ki im shanim harbe yismach besimcha satorah. The Torah is the most wonderful thing in the world. It's such a simcha. We'll talk in 2 weeks about the pleasure, the joy a person's supposed to have in studying the Torah. Ve'yizkor yimei achoshech eilu yimei hara. And yet, a person will remember the difficult times. Ki harbe yihiyu, Torah she'adam lamed ba'olam hazeh hevel hi lifnei Torah shel Mashiach. This Torah we study now is nothing compared to the Torah that will be in the future, the Torah of Mashiach. And therefore, when we study the Torah, at best, at very best, we're getting a glimpse of the Torah of L'Asid Lava. We're getting a small taste. It's a Me'ein Olam Haba. The Medrash says in source number 5, Rabbi Chanina bar Yitzchak, Amar Gimel Nov Lo Sein. There are 3 things that we can experience in an unripe form, in an immature form. What are they? Nov Lo Misa Sheina. When you take a nap, a person sleeps, it's a taste of death. Novlos Nevua, a taste of Nevua is a chalom, is a dream. Novlos Ha'olam Haba Shabbos, a taste of Olam Haba, every single Shabbos. Comes along Rabbi Avin, and he adds 2 more. Novlos Ora Shamala Gilgul Achama, the sun is a taste of the light on high. Novlos Chachma Shamala Torah, a taste of the supernal wisdom, a taste of the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at its essence is our Torah. So again, what we're experiencing today, the Torah that we experience today, and all of its wonders and all of its glory, is really just a taste of L'Asid Lava. And therefore, as we get closer and closer to Mashiach, again, these tzaddikim, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov, and his Talmidim, they're all helping us to do what? To train our eyes, to adjust our eyes. Imagine a person sitting in a pitch black room, right, for an extended period of time, and suddenly someone comes in and flicks on the lights. Right, so it's blinding to your eye. Your eye has to adjust. And therefore, these tzaddikim are helping us to adjust. They're giving us a taste of it. So that when Mashiach comes, we're familiar with the language, we're familiar with the terminology, we're able to allow that tremendous light of the Torah of L'Asid Lavo to be received in the proper way. I'll share with you a very fascinating mashal. Rabbi Yechezkel Landau, the Nodav Yehuda, in his introduction to his Tzlach is Tzion L'Nefesh Chaya, it's his writings on the Masechtos of Shas. As we study Gemara, are probably familiar with it. So he writes what he calls a Hakdama Katana. And in it, he talks about those people who make fun of Agartha. People who think that the stories of the Gemara are just silly stories, they don't have any depth. Right? The types of people who will skip over them in the course of their learning. And he says it's a terrible mistake, and he gives the following mashal. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. I'll read a little bit in source number 6 where it's bolded. But he starts off by describing the following. He says, imagine a kid who's learning for the first time. A little child, He's learning the Aleph Beis. And his Rebbe is teaching him, you know, if you see this shape, that's called an Aleph. And if you see this shape, that's called the Beis. And this is a Gimel. And the kid says, okay, you know, this is interesting, but I'm not really sure what it's about. But in his innocence, in his youthfulness, he doesn't really know to question or to challenge it. He kind of accepts it as is. And he learns. And he continues to learn, and suddenly the Aleph and the Beis start to join together, and they form a word, and then they form a sentence. And all of a sudden, he starts to understand why I needed to understand what these funny little shapes meant. So the Nodeb Yehuda goes on, and he gives the following mashal. He says, imagine there was a boat traveling at sea, and on this ship was a pregnant woman amongst the many other passengers, and suddenly the boat was shipwrecked on an island. And they're stuck on this island, and there are no schools on this island, there are no books on this island. The woman gives birth, the child starts to grow, and no one bothers to teach him to read or write, because they figure we're stuck on this island forever. There's no purpose for him learning to read or write. There was one teacher on this boat, and as the kid started to get older, he wanted to teach him. And he would make letters in the sand, and he would try to teach him the letters, and at this point, the kid's a little bit older, a little more self-sufficient, and he doesn't really say, what's the point of all this? Why are you teaching me this? And he says, you'll see. Let's take a look where it's bolded in source number 6. Avalzeh nolad besvina shekvaru gadol ubochin bedvar mato alaso. He's a little bit older now and he questions, what's the purpose of all this? Hiskil goer b'malamdo b'chari af. He's yelling at his teacher. Why are you wasting my time with this? I want to go collect coconuts. I want to go build myself a raft and, you know, float out on the water. What do I need this for? V'omer halo kol dvarecha dvarim b'teilim. V'schok v'hitol. You're going to show me this is an aleph, this is a base. What am I going to do with this? Doesn't mean anything to me. U'ma'betzel b'yediyah zos. What is there to gain from this? She'ein bal lo chachma v'lo tfuna. It's pointless. V'amnam ze'am alamdo yada u'betach. But the Rebbe, the Malamed, is confident that at some point they'll return to dry land. When he sits down to learn, and he now knows how to read, and he knows how to write, and he's able to adjust to kids his own age, so he'll be able to feel that what? He'll be able to recognize the Gedola, the great thing that comes from this knowledge. He forces him to learn. He learns to read, he learns to write. But he still doesn't appreciate what's the point of all of this. The day finally comes. The people are saved from the island. They see a boat out at the sea and they flag it down with sailors upon it. They all board this boat, they return to dry land. The kid goes to school, and he realizes, wow, that Rebbe who forced me to learn was doing me such a favor. Says the Nodeb Yehuda, we study the Agarata now. Do you think we have any understanding of the depth of Chazal's stories? We think we understand the stories of Rabbi Bar Chana and, the crazy stories. We can't even begin to understand these stories, but we understand them in an immature and a babyish way. And when the time comes, we'll be able to understand them in all its depth. And the Nodeb Yehuda concludes, if you just jump to the last paragraph, where it's bolded, he says he heard from a Choshev Rav, from Broid. He says, "Be'inyan eser sviros b'lima." He says the same thing is true about the Kabbalistic knowledge that we hope to acquire. The 10 sviros, ushtayim ushloshim nesivos chachma, the 32 pathways of wisdom that the deeper svarim talk about. The chamishim shari bina, the 50 gates of understanding. Vishalosh bechinos meser sviros, yamin, small, the emtsa. You've seen, you've ever been to tzvat. My father's a mug even with a Kabbalistic chart on it. On the right, on the left, in the middle, this whole diagram and all sorts of very strange things. And says the Nodeb Yehuda, none of these things are true in Shemayim. There's no right, there's no left, there's no middle, there's no chesed, there's no gvura, it's all, right? These are all mashalim to try to understand on a small level. But when the time comes, when Mashiach comes, when we're zocha to the Torah of Mashiach, so all of a sudden all these things which were just mashalim at this point in our life, they start to make sense. And we start to appreciate the full depth of it. And that's why it's so important that we acknowledge the Torah of Mashiach, even in our time. We're 229 years, that's the maximum, that's the deadline. Mashiach has to come within the next 229 years. Can't get much closer than that. And therefore our eyes need to begin to adjust. That's what the Baal Shem Tov was doing for us. That's what the Arizal was doing for us. And when we fail to acknowledge this, and there are many people, unfortunately, right, there are many people, my father's trying to recruit some people right now before this year, and they were, oh, this isn't for us. Right? They're not in tune with the Torah of Mashiach. They're not in tune with the language of our generation. And because of that, they're delaying the Geula. The Zohar has a statement in Parshas Naso that says, with this Sefer, we're going to go out from the Galus. Right, the Sefer HaZohar was the book that's going to take us out of the Galus and bring the Geula. A similar thing from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov wrote a letter to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershon Kitzver, in 1752. The letter wasn't published for another 30 years. The letter actually never made it to his brother-in-law. But Rav Gershon Kidover was sent this letter from the Baal Shem Tov, where the Baal Shem Tov described certain things that he had seen in some state of vision in 1746 on Rosh Hashanah. He went up to Shemayim, and he had this whole revelation, and he met with Mashiach, the Neshama of Mashiach. And he asked Mashiach, when are you going to come? He says, I'm going to come when your teachings spread outward. Right? When the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim are spread throughout the world. So you see that this is a fundamental part of the Geula. Right? The Zohar, the Baal Shem Tov, and their Talmidim. All these tzaddikim are trying to help our eyes adjust. They're trying to make it, you know, something that we can sink our teeth into. Chassidus especially, you know, Kabbalah, okay. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Arizal, maybe that's out of our league, but Chassidus is certainly appropriate. It teaches us how to be a better Eved Hashem. It's Torah that was given to us to help us to make that connection, to make that leap from the world of the Torah of now to the Torah of Mashiach. Svarim even point out, if you look in source number 7, Svarim point out, the Shem Aaron, Rav Shalom of Koydenov points out, Amarti, Hine yadua ki bein kol madrega madrega yesh bachinas memutza. We know that between any stepping stone, from point A to point B, there's always a middle ground. For example, bein domim letzomeach, between a rock and a plant, right, ha'almog. There's things that grow at the bottom of the sea that are sort of plant-like and sort of rock-like.
Sponge.
Right? Things growing at the bottom of the sea, which again have a rock-like structure, and at the same time they seem to feed and they seem to grow and develop like a plant. Ubein tzomeach l'chai ad ne'asadeh. Between a plant and an animal, you have what the Mishnah describes, what the Torah meant makes reference to in passing, the ad ne'asadeh, this wild animal that was attached to the ground by its navel, some whole crazy thing. Bein chai l'medaber, between a person and an animal, you have a monkey. Be careful, you hear where people run away with evolution with this stuff. But this is a Torah true concept. It says Rav Shalom of Koydena, V'inei Toras Or Yisrael V'kedusho, Habal Shem Tov Zechus Yegein Aleinu, V'darko Zal Hu Amamutza Bein Or Torah Shenizgala L'Or Torah Sheyizgala B'yamei HaMashiach Tzidkenu. He says the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov is exactly that middle ground between the Torah we have now and the Torah that will be revealed in the times of Mashiach. So this is the Torah that we need to study in our times. And the Baal Shem Tov's grandson went ahead and he found a hint of this in the Torah itself. That this is the Torah that will take us out of Galus. The Dego Machane Ephraim, explaining the Pasuk of Parshas B'Shalach, source number 8, Uvnei Yisrael Yotzin B'Yad Ramah. The Jewish people will go out B'Yad Ramah with an outstretched hand. And if you look at Unkelis on that Pasuk, B'Yad Ramah, Unkelis says, B'Reish Galay. What does it mean, B'Reish Galay? I'll share the source with you outside. He says, B'Reish is a code, right? Galay, we will have Gula. We'll have redemption, Beresh, with people whose names are alluded to in the word Beresh. He says, first and foremost, Beresh stands for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? Beresh, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not in order, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is Beresh. He says, that's the statement of the Zohar, with the Sefer HaZohar, we'll come out of the Galus. He says, the Baal Shem Tov had his vision, where Mashiach told them, with your Torah, the Jewish people will be taken out of the Galus. Beresh is Rashi Tevos, Rabbi Yisrael, Baal Shem. And while the Dego Machane Ephraim doesn't point it out, I added here, many Mefarshim point out, that the Arizal was also Beresh, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Shlomo. So you have all the tzaddikim who are advancing the cause of the Geula, the Torah HaMashiach, all of them are alluded to in this word Beresh. V'nei Yisrael Yotzin B'Yad Ramah, Beresh Galei. Right, with these tzaddikim will be redeemed. Now of course, right, like any lofty thing, whenever there's a potential for something very great, there's a Hisnagdus. And there's no question that when it comes to these areas, the Pnimiyas HaTorah, there are many people who are, you know, just they're not on board. The second you start to say, Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Nachman, all the more so, right? You mentioned Rabbi Nachman of Breslau, they think, oh, you're some crazy hippie who's probably going to be, you know, dancing around. Right? That's not for us. That's not, you know, that's, remember, Kedusha Slavi, oh, he's a great tzaddik, but you know, that's not what we study. It's not for me. Right? There are a lot of people who feel that way. And what they're doing, again, what they're doing is they're rejecting the language of our times. They're fighting against the Torah of the times. That are preparing their eyes to see the Or of Mashiach, the Torah of Mashiach. Even in the times of Bayis Rishon, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was partially destroyed because people weren't yet ready to experience the Torah of Lasa Lava. The Gemara tells us in source number 9, the famous Gemara in the Darim, the Pei Aleph. The Gemara asks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking around, they asked, of Chachamim, they asked the Nevi'im, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, Bayis Rishon? No one could answer the question. Hashem comes along himself and answers the question. And the Gemara says, what was the answer to the question? Just read the last line where it's bolded. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Shein Mavarchin B'Torah Tchila. Because people are not reciting Birchas HaTorah. People aren't reciting Birchas HaTorah. What does that mean? Lack of appreciation for Torah. Many answers, many, many answers found in many Svarim, early Svarim, later Svarim, what that means. But the Ben Ish Chai says, you know what that means? They didn't make the Birchas HaTorah? Shelo Birchu BaTorah Tchila. He explains in source number 10, he says, the different parts of the brachos of Birchas HaTorah correspond to the different dimensions of Torah. We know there's a pshat, there's a simple explanation of Torah. There's a remez, there's drash, there's sod, there's the secrets of the Torah. He says the first bracha that we recite, Asher kedishanu mitzvot zivanu al divrei Torah, that's at least the Svarad version, the Svaradi version of it, the Ben Ish Chai. He says that version, that line of Birchas HaTorah is keneged chilek hasod. So he says, you know what it means? They didn't make Birchas HaTorah, shelo birchu b'torah tchila. He says where it's bolded, source number 10, v'nei yesh she'enem ma'aminim hasod. There are people who totally deny. We're happy with Psha. What do we need sod? We need to understand secrets of the Torah. The revealed Torah is also very nice. They stopped making the first part of the bracha because they said, we don't need the secrets of the Torah. We're perfectly fine with what we have. And that was a rejection of this element of Torah. And because of that, they were lost the base of the Mikdash and they delayed the Geula process. So, you know, throughout history, we've experienced this, whether it was in the times of Bayesh Rishon, when the Zohar itself was printed, there was a tremendous Isnagdus. When the Zohar was finally found in its written form, and it was ready to be printed, and there were many people who felt that it was totally inappropriate. How could I reveal the secrets of the universe to every person? I could go right now, I could walk into a bookstore and go buy a set of Zohar. I go online right now. You can go online right now and read the entire Zohar in English. It's to be Zion, people thought. But there were tzaddikim who took a stand and said, no, this is the Torah that the people need. This is the Torah that gives people chizuk. It's going to carry them to Lasid Lavo. There was a tzaddik named Rav Yitzchak de Latesh. And he wrote a psak. If you have a Hebrew edition of the Zohar, very often it's printed right at the very intro to the Zohar. This psak of Agon, Rav Yitzchak de Latesh, in source number 11. And he explains this concept of the progression of Torah. You have to be willing to allow Torah to progress. There's a natural progression. There was a time when we didn't need the secrets of the Torah for everyone. But the time has come to reveal it further and further. And he says beautifully, it's such a beautiful explanation. It's hard to argue on. He says in source number 11, Kishamru Chazal Shnei Alafim Tohu, Shnei Alafim Torah, Shnei Alafim Yemos Mashiach. When Chazal explained the 6,000 years of creation are going to be 2,000 years of nothingness, followed by 2,000 years of Torah, followed by 2,000 years of Mashiach. He says, Ki Abez Alafim Rishonim Lohai Ru'uyim LaTorah. The first 2,000 years, there wasn't Torah yet. But was there really not Torah yet? Avram already had Torah before the year 2000. He was studying it. So he says Torah was a secret society. The Torah was still locked up in Shemayim. Chatuma bo Torosav was kept in Hashem's treasure house. Kamusa Ima was stored away with him. Individuals began to study Torah before it was ever given to the masses. But the time came after 2,448 years. And then the Torah was suddenly made available to millions of people, 600,000. Right? And that's just the men, and that's, you know, 600,000 neshamos and all of its dimensions. We were all there. Millions and millions of Jews stood at Har Sinai and received the Torah, something which was originally kept in the hands of only a few. Says Rav Yitzchak de Latesh, the same thing is true with Sisrei Torah. Kein Sisrei Torah hayu adhena stumim lo nodu kim lebnei aliyah. There was a time and a place where only a select few would have the Kabbalistic tradition, and it was passed secretly from Rebbe to Talmud. V'hina me'atim l'fi shelo bazmanim l'sparsim. It wasn't time to reveal it to the world. V'alkein lo hayu neviim kiim echad me'ir v'shnayim mishpacha. A few here, a few there. Aval v'shnei alafim shalim mosa Mashiach. But when you come to the 2,000 years of Mashiach, the end of time, imei yos shabav roseinu avru masha avru. Yes, it may be true, we're not such great tzaddikim. And yet, for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed that the time has come to reveal this Torah to the world. T'sparsim zos hachachma v'tisgal l'kol. It's going to be made accessible to all. It's going to be available for all to enjoy. And that was the holy chutzpah that Rav Yitzchak de Latesh had to encourage the publication of the Zohar. And the Arizal, in later generations, said about this. When he saw that Rav Yitzchak de Latesh had this holy chutzpah to publish the Zohar, the Chidah records it from Rav Chaim Vital in source number 12. He says, Amar li Morizal, I heard from the Arizal, she'achacham she'asaf sach lahadfis ha-Zohar. This chacham had the chutzpah to publish the Zohar. He had the neshama of a very great tzaddik, an even greater tzaddik from even earlier times. He was worthy to be the one to make this call, to make this decision. He had the holy chutzpah, the kenas, the chutzpah, to pass him this way, to reveal the Zohar to the masses. And Baruch Hashem says, the Arizal, he did a very good thing. So the question becomes very obvious. Right? The big question that probably should be bothering us all at this point, and Yitzchak Delatesh alluded to it, is that if you get closer and closer to Mashiach, yes, it's true, the light of Mashiach, the Torah of Mashiach, should become more and more revealed. But there's a flip side to it, which is the fact that we have a concept of Yerida Sadoros. And in each generation, things seem to be moving against the revelation of Torah. You would think, again, as we get lower and lower, as we become less holy, we should be less worthy of seeing the Pnimiyas HaTorah. In last week's Parsha, the famous Rashi in Source 14, Rashi describes Ma'inin Shmita Etzel Har Sinai. Right? The Torah describes Har Sinai in conjunction with Shmita. And we know all the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. Rashi's famous statement, Ma'inin Shmita Etzel Har Sinai. What's the concept, what's the connection between Shmita and Har Sinai? So Rashi says in Source 14, where it's bolded, Alamash Shmita Nemru Klaloseh Pratoseh V'diktukeh Mi'sinai, just as Shmita in all of its details, its general principles and its details were set at Har Sinai, so too all mitzvahs were at Sinai. What does that mean? Well, the more so, says the Binas Yisrael, who I think was the uncle of the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe. He says, I don't get it. At Har Sinai, there was no Shmita at all. At Har Sinai, we were like Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. We were back on the level prior to the sin. There's no concept of avoda. No one had to work. There was no working the ground, and therefore there was no concept of Shemitah. So he explains a very important yisod when it comes to mitzvahs. He says when it comes to mitzvahs, sometimes the mitzvah is able to function in this higher level, right? In a way where it's not practiced in the way that we practice it today. And as the generations go down, the mitzvah takes on more of a tangible form. He says in Source 15, he says where it's bolded, Uvar Sinai haya inyan shmita inyan gavoa ma'od. At Har Sinai, shmita was what? It was a klal, it was a general principle. The concept of shmita wasn't practiced, nothing to do with farming and letting your land rest. That's a much lower manifestation of the concept of shmita. And as the world descended and got lower and lower, shmita became about farming, shmita became about letting your land rest, and the same thing is true by all mitzvahs. Every mitzvah has its spiritual component on a higher level, and as we descend through the generations, the mitzvahs become more gashmi, they become more tangible, more physical, so it only highlights the question, it makes the question that much stronger. So if things are becoming more gashmi, if things are becoming more tangible, if we're moving away from spirituality, so why are the secrets of the Torah becoming more and more revealed? It doesn't make any sense. It's Yerida Sadoros. The Gemara's statements about Yerida Sadoros are very clear. Right, you can look, Source 16 and 17, you can look later, but you know, if the earlier generations were like angels, we're like people. If they're like people, we're like donkeys. Right, their hearts were open wide, but our hearts are like the eye of a needle. I mean, very harsh statements against our generation. So why should we be worthy of the secrets of the Torah? So of course the answer is that it's a paradox. Right? It's something that doesn't seem to make sense, but there's a certain truth to it. For some reason, there's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine plan is that the secrets of the Torah be revealed at the end of time. And there's another way to look at it. Right? It's not that we're better than the earlier generations. But it's like the mushel that Rav Yishai of Tirani gives in the 1200s, already in the Shalos and Tshuvos of the Rib. Rav Yishai de Tirani says, when responding to someone who challenged him for challenging an early authority, they said, who do you think you are? The 1200s already, right? You think you could challenge the tzaddikim of the earlier generations? And he says, I'll give you a mashal. He says, it's like a mashal. We'll read inside, in Source 18, where it's bolded. Shamati mechachmei ha-philosophim. He says, don't think I'm a baal gaiva. I know I'm nothing compared to the earlier generations. But it's like the famous mashal of the philosophers. Sha'alu gadol shebehem, v'amru lo halo anachnu modim sharishonim chachmu v'iskilu yosrimen. We would all agree that the earlier generations were smarter than us. And yet, we're able to know more. We're able to understand deeper. Think about the advanced, right? The earlier generations, much smarter, much loftier neshamas, and we're so much more advanced. Medicine, technology, even in the physical world. We're so much more advanced. How can that be? Baharbi Mekomos, right? So many areas were more advanced, and we challenge them. And we're correct. The truth is with us. How can that be? So he says, Hishivam, Amar lahem, Mitzofa lemarachuk. Who can see farther off into the distance? Hananas o ha'anak? A giant or a midget? So of course, a giant can see much farther. So he says, true. Have omer ha'anak, she'ein of omdos v'makum gavoa yoser min ananas. Right, the anak, the giant, can see much farther than the nanas. V'im tarachiv ha'ananas al tavari ha'anak. But what if the midget is standing on the giant's shoulders? Who can see farther? Obviously the midget, right? The one who's very short. So says Rabbi Yishai Ditrani, he says, that's our generation. It's not to say that we're bigger. We're not even close to bigger than the earlier generations. But we're like those midgets standing on the shoulders of giants. Right? We're like the very short people who are standing, who are climbing onto the levels that were established and built up by the earlier generations. And that's what gives us the farther view into the future. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin explains in Source 19, he says the exact same idea. V'hainu, k'noda d'chol nefesh mi'Yisrael yesh lo koach mi'yuchad b'kedusha. Every Jewish soul is tremendously holy. U'k'mispar ador's, and as time goes on, cha'avru kach, heim ha'mispar kochos ha'kedusha v'adivrei Torah sh'nesgal ba'olam. The amount of kedusha in the world increases. And the amount of Torah in the world increases. It's so backwards. How could that be? V'lachach b'chol dor v'dor ha'kedusha ho leches u'mesgalis yoser. Hagam d'hadoros miskadnim. Yes, says Rav Tzadok, the generations are getting smaller. Spiritually, we're lower. And yet, on some level, things are becoming more and more revealed. Because we're already able to build off of all of the groundwork that the earlier generations did. And he makes reference to, of course, the mashal of the Nanas al Gabi Anak. He says that's the reality of our times. That the Torah is revealing itself in new ways. And he goes on to explain also in the Pritzadik in source number 20, that while our nefashos, he quotes from the Rebbe of Peshischa, yes, sha nefashos miskadnim b'chol dor, yes, spiritually we're on a lower level. But there's something unique about our generation, that something inside of us is that much stronger. Mikomakom anakuda shebelev nitar. Something inside is that much brighter. Right? Maybe it's the fact that we're so much under attack by the Yitzhar, but there's something inside of Jews, b'zman hazeh, even Jews who are not so religiously connected, and they're feeling something. It's not by chance that you go to Meiron. You go to Meiron on Lag BaOmer. You see every type of Jew under the sun there. You see Haredi Jews, you see secular Jews, you see Hasidic Jews, you see Mesnagdim. You see everything. Men, women, children, old, young, everyone's there. Because the generation feels a longing. They're drawn to the light of Mishum Bar Yochai. There's something inside that's pulling us in that direction. So there really is no answer to this question. It's a paradox. It doesn't make sense. Why should it be that we, at the end of time, with our puny mind and our puny souls, were able to tap into the secrets of the Torah? But in some strange way, we give a Kadosh Baruch Hu tremendous nachas when we do it. And that's the psak of the Oral HaShemayim in Source 21. Rav Meir Alevi of Apta, he quotes Rav Chaim Vital, he says, yes, the Gemara says, Ein Lecha Esek Benistaros. We shouldn't busy ourselves with secretive matters. It's not appropriate for us to study it. Says Rav Chaim Vital, Zekai Al Doros HaRishonim. That was only true for the earlier generations. Avabadara Basra, but in the later generations, the secrets which earlier generations were told keep away from, Adarab. Nachas Ruach Lefanav Yisbarach Shemo La'asok B'Sisrei Torah. In some strange, crazy way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys when us simple Jews try to understand the depth of His Torah. I just want to connect very briefly to the Parsha. Of course, Parsha's B'Chukosai would be remiss if we didn't make mention of it. Parsha's B'Chukosai has the exact same paradox. You have the harshest psukim in the Torah. You have the biggest tochacha. The biggest punishments described, right, for the worst people of all time. And yet, if you look in the deeper Svarim, what do you find? What's the real Omek HaPshad of the tochacha? Says Rav Pinchas, of course, in Source 22, Shemati b'shemo, shebetochacha yesham kol ha'refuos v'atzalos v'atovos. The tochacha is the biggest brachos in the world. The biggest brachos in the world? You ever read through the tochacha in English? Doesn't sound like brachos to me. Says Rav Pinchas, of course, Ki machmas rov ha'or, because they're such lofty brachos, lo hayayachol esgalos v'neslabish. They have to be concealed in the dirt. They have to be hidden in the lowest of the low. The Arizal would read, we have in Source 23, the Arizal would read the tochos b'kol ram, Rav Chaim Vital says. He would say it out loud. How could he say it out loud? Because he understood the pnimius of the tocha. Yes, on the surface we're a broken, lowly generation. But pnimius, there's something so bright and something so holy inside of us. They say even a story one time, Rav Nachum of Chernobyl, he had afflicted himself terribly, he beat himself up, all sorts of terrible afflictions. And it was time for Parshas V'Chukosai. And the Baal Shem Tov called him up for the bracha of the tocha. The Baal Shem Tov was the Baal Kore. He called him up for the tocha. And Rav Menachem Nachum was already terribly ill from all the afflictions, and he thought, this is going to finish me off. And he comes up for the tocha, and he said that with each pasuk that the Baal Shem Tov read, he felt his body being healed. And when he said the bracha to conclude, the bracha, the closing bracha, after the aliyah, he felt that all of his illness, all of his problems had disappeared. And the Baal Shem Tov said, now you understand what the tocha is about. Right? And that's our generation. Again, it's this backwards concept. On the one hand, we're the lowest of the low, and yet the pnimius, on a deep level, there's something very deep taking place inside. Okay, now we come to the Lag BaOmer part of this year. This was all introduction, but we're doing okay. We'll be done, Mir Tashem, by 10:15. I'll try to stick to the schedule. All right? You have the lowest Jews poking their head around in the secrets of the Torah. There's obviously a very great danger. And if we open our eyes, we'll see that the danger is very much, you know, very much true in our time. You have Kabbalah centers with all sorts of nonsense, right? Madonna you know, pretending, and of course now she's suing them because it was all those games, people taking money from people, and you know, baseball players with little red bendelas on their hand. Right? There's a danger when the Pnimius HaTorah is given over to the lowest generation, right? There's a danger that it's going to be abused. And therefore it's Dafka Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who's the one who was given permission to reveal the Torah. And I want to try to explore that for a few minutes. What does it mean? Why was it Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Why would he be the one to reveal the Torah, and yet at the same time, despite the fact that yes, there will be some who abuse it, he'll be able to give it over in a way where essentially he's able to protect it. So to get to the answer, you have to take a little bit of a roundabout route. We'll come to this week's Pirkei Avos. We always read Pirkei Avos this time of year, and the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos is always read right before Lag BaOmer, and we encounter the very tragic life of one of the Tanaim, Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, for those who don't know the story, we'll learn it tonight. Elisha ben Avuya was the great Tana, the great Tzaddik, a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. Right, he went off the derech. Can you imagine one of the greatest Tzaddikim of all time going off the derech? A Tana, someone whose statement is recorded in the Mesorah of Pirkei Avos, Elisha ben Avuya goes off the derech. How could such a thing be? Right, you understand who this person was. I'm talking about one of the greatest Tanaim of his time, a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, even after he went off the derech. Rabbi Meir is still following him around, learning from his Torah. How could such a thing be? So let's review his story. Let's look at the story of Elisha ben Avuya. And the well-known Gemara in Maseches Chagiga. Source 24. Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Nichnasu Bepardes. Four people entered the orchard. What does it mean they entered the orchard? Rashi explains they used Kabbalistic knowledge of certain Shemo, certain names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had some type of spiritual experience where they entered the heavens. And Rabbi Akiva, who is the leader of this group, turns to the Chevra, Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Zoma, Acher and Rabbi Akiva. Acher is the code name for Elisha ben Avuya, as we'll see. They go up to the Shemayim, and Rabbi Akiva gives them the following warning. Amar lam Rabbi Akiva, Kashatam Megiyan Eitzel Avnei Shayish Tar Al Tomru Mayim Mayim. When you see something that looks like water, don't say water, water. Because it's not really water, it's Avnei Shayish Tar. Again, these are all mashalim, but it's some type of very pure, pristine marble stone. Be careful you don't label it as water when it's not really water. Why? Because it's Shemayim and the Olam HaEmes. If you speak Sheker, it could be very detrimental. What happened on this great Kabbalistic adventure to Shemayim? The Gemara goes on to explain in line 3, Ben Azai hates its v'meis. Ben Azai glanced towards the Shechina and he was killed instantly. His neshama flew out of his body and stayed in Shemayim, never to come back down. In line 4, Ben Zoma hates its v'nifka. Ben Zoma saw things and he went crazy. He lost his mind. Acher kitzeitz benetios, Elisha ben Avuya went off the derech, and Rabbi Akiva nichlas v'shalom b'yachz v'shalom. Rabbi Akiva went in peacefully and emerged peacefully. What does it mean that Acher kitzeitz benetios, he chopped trees? What's the mashal of chopping trees? What did he see? What forced him to go astray? So the Gemara in Amud later in Source 25 explains, Acher kitzeitz benetios, what does it mean? Don't allow your mouth to bring guilt upon your flesh. What happened? Mahi, what happened to Elisha ben Avuya? Chaza meitatron di isyahava le'reshusa le'mesav le'michtav zachvasa di Yisrael. He saw the Malach Matatron, who was sitting in Shemayim and recording the merits of the Jewish people. Elisha ben Avuya saw this and he questioned, what is this? Amr gamir de lamala lo havi lo yeshiva lo tachos lo orif lo ipoy. Something sitting in the heavens. Well, you have a tradition. I said, I learned. I have a tradition that no one sits in Shemayim except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no right. The kisei hakavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one sits in Shemayim. Who is this malach? What is this sitting in Shemayim? Is it perhaps that what? There's a second God? Shema chas v'shalom shtei reshuyos saying. Is it possible that there's more than one God? There are two reshuyos. There are two controllers of the world? Afkul and Metatron, immediately this Malach was taken out and punished for leading Acher astray. Metatron was taken out, Umachyuhu Shisin Pulsi Denura. He was immediately punished, he was whipped with 60 fiery whips. And he was yelled at by the heavens, by the other Malachim, why didn't you stand up? If you would have stood up, Elisha ben Avuya wouldn't have gone astray. Very strange Gemara. And he's given permission to erase the merits of Elisha ben Avuya. He's wiped out of the book of merits in Shemayim. And where it's bolded, it says, Yatz the Baskel v'amra shuvu banam shovavim chutz me'acher. A voice came out of the heaven and said that everyone can do tshuva except for Acher. Elisha ben Avuya, you're done. Right? You're finished. He figures, if I'm not going to Olam Haba, I might as well enjoy Olam Haza. So the Gemara goes on, he goes and he hires an Isha Zona. Right? He involves himself in all sorts of lewd and immoral behavior. And this woman recognizes him. She says, I recognize your picture. I saw you in the newspaper. You were the keynote speaker at the Aguda convention last week. Right, what's going on here? So he says, no, no, you're confused, it's someone else. And he bends down with Shabbos, he plucks a radish out of the ground, and he gives it to her, and she says, oh, you must be Acher, you must be someone else. Very troubling story. Again, a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, someone obviously was great enough, who had the Kabbalistic knowledge to enter the Pardes, and yet something went terribly wrong. What's the pshat? What happened to Acher? So like I said, in this week's Pirkei Avos, we learn his Mishnah. Let's take a look at his Mishnah in Source 26. Right, Elisha ben Avuya says the following. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, Halomed yelid lamahu dome lidiok suval nir chadash. Va'alomed zakin lamahu dome lidiok suval nir machuk. A person who learns when he's young is like writing on a clean piece of paper. It's like ink that's making its impression upon a clean piece of paper. Va'alomed zakin lamahu dome. But a person who only starts to learn when he's old, what's it like? It's like writing on a piece of paper that's been erased over and over and over. Pashup shot, and Mefarshim explain, that if you learn when you're young, your learning sticks with you. You remember it well. When a person starts to learn only when he's older, so it's like writing on a piece of paper that's been erased over and over. It doesn't last. It doesn't stick very well. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed me with a thought, which was really, this was the idea that got me started with this entire shiur. I want to try to learn Elisha ben Avuya a little differently. It's certainly not pshat in his Mishnah, but I think it's emes. And I think what he's telling us is a secret in Pnimiyas HaTorah. What does it mean, a person who learns Yeled, a person who learns like a Zakein? Right? We know the concept of Yeled and Zakein represent a person who learns with simplicity and a person who learns with tremendous depth. Rashi tells us in Source 27, Rashi tells us on the Pasuk, Vadarta Pnei Zakein, Ein Zakein El Zesha Kana Chachma. Zakein is Rashi Tevos, Zek Kana Chachma. Right? Zikna means a person who has a depth of understanding. So now let's come back to Elisha ben Avuya's Mishnah. Right? What's he saying? What's the difference? A person who learns like a Yeled, a person who learns with simplicity, a person who doesn't delve into Pnimiyas HaTorah, it's like reading what? It's like reading the writing on the clean piece of paper. It's like reading the black ink on the clean piece of paper. But a person who learns like a Zakein, a person who learns with the depths of understanding, what's he reading? It's like reading the ink in the erased paper. What does that mean? He's reading the white of the Sefer Torah. He's reading the writing that's found in the area where there is no writing. What am I talking about? What's this idea? The black and the white of the Torah? The Kedushas Levi explains in Source 28, we know the Torah was given, Eish Shchor Al Gabi Eish Levana. The Torah was a black fire on a white fire. Explains the Kedushas Levi. V'inei Gavon Lavan, the white of the Torah, so to speak, Kol HaKol HaGvanin. White, we know, encompasses all of the colors. If I took a crystal clear beam of light, of white light, and I refracted it through a prism, so we'd be able to see many different colors. So the white represents what? The infinite. What about black? Black, you see what you get. Black is black. That's all there is to it. It doesn't encompass all of the colors. It only has the black, which is within it. The black is so limited, it represents man. Says Elisha ben Avuya, if you want to learn like a Yeled, just read the black. Just read the pshat of the Torah. Just read the words and nothing more. But if you want to learn like a Zakein, read the erased area. Read the white of the Torah. Learn to read between the lines. Right? So what's Elisha ben Avuya telling us to do? He's encouraging us to learn deeply. Is that not the same thing Rishon Bar Yochai did? Is that not the exact same message of Rishon Bar Yochai? To study the Torah in a deep way? Rishon Bar Yochai goes so far as to say in the Zohar, jump ahead to Source 30. He says, V'zakoyin inan Yisrael. The Jewish people are Zocha. We were given a heavenly Torah, a Torah of truth. Uman da Amar. And one who claims that there's nothing more than the black of the Torah. A person who says, Dahusi Pura da Oraisa. You read a story in the Torah, and you say that it's what? La'achaza Ahusi Pur Bilvad. It's nothing more than what meets the eye. It's just a story. Right? A person who says such a thing, Tipach Ruche. His spirit should be crushed. And he goes on and he says, the Torah, the Torah's MS, the Torah of truth, Hashem had nothing better to write about than Lavan, and Esav, and Bilam, Rishon Gemurim. Hashem has nothing better to write about? If it's nothing more than the story, then something's terribly wrong here. Says Rishon Bar Yochai, there's a depth to it. There's a pnimius to it. Learn to read between the lines. So that's what Elisha ben Avuya is encouraging us to do. So the big shaila is, so what went wrong? How did Elisha ben Avuya go off the derech, and how did Rishon Bar Yochai get it right? So the answer, I think, is found in the fact that Elisha ben Avuya said, Shtei Rishuyos. It's two domains. Right? It's two different dimensions. What was he saying? You know, people make the mistake. They think that there's Pshat and there's Sod. There's Pasha Pshat and then there's Sod. They're two different worlds. The world of Pshat and the world of Sod. Right? There's Gemara and then there's Zohar. There's Halacha and then there's a higher truth. Right? But that's a terrible mistake. when we start to separate into two reshuyos, we don't understand the relationship, how the pshat and the sod work hand in hand. When we don't understand how the Gemara and the Zohar work hand in hand. We don't understand how halacha and having higher kavanas work hand in hand. So we've undermined the entirety of the Torah. The Sefer Medrash Ruach HaChadash, which is the Zohar Chadash. So there's an introduction to one of the printings by Rav Avram Simcha of Amtsetzlav, who was a nephew of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And he says, I heard the following from the Vilna Gaon. People think that there's Zohar and there's Gemara and there's contradictions between the two. It's like two different paths, right? You could be a halachic Jew or you could be like a spiritual Jew. There's no stira between the two. The Vilna Gaon said, where it's bolded in Source 31, it's impossible that the secrets of the Torah should contradict the revealed Torah. Ki echa Torah tistoras atzma. How could the Torah contradict itself? Vasher nirin be'ez adinim, if it appears in several places that there's a contradiction between the two, ki chalukin have machma she'in mevinim perish ha'amiti b'talmud u'b'zar. It's either because you don't understand the Gemara well enough, or it's because you don't understand the Zohar well enough. But there could be no contradiction between the two. And yes, there are klalim, the Aruch HaShulchan goes on in Source 32, we won't read it inside now. He says sometimes, again, the poskim say, if it's a machlokas between the Gemara and the Zohar, we follow the Gemara. And if the Gemara doesn't comment on it, then we follow the Zohar. Right? But he goes on and he says at the end, he says, I have the same tradition. There's no contradiction between the Gemara and the Zohar. They work hand in hand. That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught the world. And that's where Elisha ben Avuya went astray. He became an acher because he said, Shtei Reshuyos. These are two different tracks. He used to be on the track of halacha, but he decided after everything he saw in Shemayim, I'm pater from halacha. I'm no longer bound by mitzvahs. I can do whatever I want. Rav Tzadok explains in Source 33, we'll just read a little bit again where it's bolded. Rav Tzadok says, Elisha ben Avuya is sort of right. On the highest level, do our actions really matter? To be careful what we say here. But he's really right. On the highest level, right? Eino milvado, it's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvahs, averus, what difference does it make? Vine mitzara sagas yeyichur amiti, says Rav Tzadok in his Sefer HaZichronos, from the perspective of the oneness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, ein makum lezchus v'chova klal. There's no schar, there's no onesh, it's all one and the same. Kevin shu masik she'ein od milvado klal. There's nothing but Hashem. Hare ko pu'ulas adam, gam keim pu'ulas a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Person does an avera, God's doing an avera. Person does a mitzvah, God's doing a mitzvah. Val zen nemar, this is what Eo was saying, im tzadak da matite in love. You do good, what have you done for him? If he takes from you, what's he taking from you? He's taking from himself. Everything is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, right? And he goes on to explain, everything is Hashem. And this is true. On the highest level, this is 100% true. Following along, just where it's bold, but we have to be careful to remember that what? That's not the system Hashem wants us to live by. Hashem wants us to acknowledge that we have Bechira. That we have a choice and our actions make a difference. Our mitzvos make a difference. Our averos make a difference. And Rav Tzadok says, "The imlo kein ein makum leTorah klal." Because if you live a life like Elisha ben Avuya, you've uprooted the Torah in its entirety. You've been kitzeitz benetios. You've uprooted the trees of Gan Eden. You've uprooted the bushes, right? The beautiful Torah of the Pardes. Okay, just go to again where it's bolded. Jump down a few lines where it's bolded, those few lines together. This was Elisha ben Avuya's mistake. He thought these were two different domains. Rishus ratzalomer hanhaga. He thought there were two different ways that God runs the world. I'm either on the halacha path or I'm on the Kabbalah path. He didn't realize they work hand in hand. He couldn't grasp how they work together. If I live a life of choice, that's for amateurs. That's for beginners. Right? But I'm above that. I've experienced the divine. I've been to the Shemayim. He says, but a person who knows the higher truth, I don't need Torah. He felt that he was exempt from everything. And Rav Tzadok therefore says, Elisha ben Avuya came back to this earth, and he went and he hired a zona l'shem shemayim, and he was l'chal Shabbos l'shem shemayim, because he said, none of it matters anymore. What difference does it make? It's all the same. I recognize the oneness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But of course, this was the terrible mistake. And this is where Elisha ben Avuya ruined himself, and this is exactly where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got it right. How did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai get it right? So first of all, he had a Rebbe who got it right. Rabbi Akiva is a halachist. Rabbi Akiva, the one who transmitted to his student, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the deepest secrets of the Torah, is first and foremost a halachic posek. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Torah, And he sees Rabbi Akiva's base medrash. And he doesn't even understand. Even Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand what's going on. The Gemara in Menachos says, source 34, he went up to the Shemayim and he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns onto the letters. Right? The crowns that are on top of the letters of a Sefer Torah. Amru Lefanav, Moshe asked Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Mima Akev Al Yadcha? What's this for? Who's causing you to do this? Amru Lo, Hashem said, Adam Echad Yesh, She'asad Lios Besof Kama Doros, there's going to be a tzaddik after many generations, Akiva ben Yosef Shemo, She'asad Lidrosh Al Kol Kotz V'Kotz Tilin Tilin Shehalachos. Each one of these little prongs, these crowns on top of the Torah, on top of the letters, he's going to derive from their mounds and mounds of halachos. Halachos. From the secrets of the Torah, from the crowns on the top of the letters, he's going to derive halachos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to see such a person. So he turns around and he finds himself in Rabbi Akiva's base medrash. V'lo haye yodeh, where it's bolded, v'lo haye yodeh mahin omrim. Tashash kocho. Moshe can't follow the shir. He doesn't understand the language of Lassalot. He doesn't understand the language of Rabbi Akiva. The concepts he's dealing with, the pnimiyas HaTorah. Even Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand it. Keivan shi'igil is davar echad. But finally, Rabbi Akiva's students say the following. Amru lo tamidav, Rabbi, minayin lecha. The students say, Rabbi, you're giving the deepest shir, the deepest secrets of the Torah. But where does it all come from? Says Rabbi Akiva back to them. Amar lehen halacha lemoshe misinai. This is all rooted in the halacha. It's not shtei reshuos. It's not two different worlds. All the secrets of the Torah. The crowns on top of the letters. I can teach you halacha from that. I can show you how the world of Sod and the world of Pshat, the world of Zohar, and the world of halacha. Right? It all works hand in hand. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai took this message to heart. Who is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai? Every single page of the Gemara mentions Rabbi Shimon. He's on every single... Stam Rabbi Shimon, says Rashi in source 35. Anytime the Gemara mentions Rabbi Shimon, who is it? It's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. No, Rabbi Shimon, the same Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was in the cave with the carob tree and the water and flying in the Shema. Yes, it's the same Rabbi Shimon. He's the one who has the ability to reveal the secrets of the Torah because he knows how to connect the universes. He understands the relationship between the highest levels and the lowest levels. The Nazir, we know, Rav Kook had a Talmud, right? Rav David Cohen, the Nazir, the Holy Nazir, right? A very great tzaddik, very unique type of tzaddik. So the Nazir wrote a sefer called Kol HaNavua. And in source 36, he explains, it's exactly this idea. Rabbi Shimon was the halacha and Kabbalist par excellence. Amnam Rabbi Shimon ha-meyuchad b'halacha. Rabbi Shimon, the one who is miyuchad in halacha, shedorish time in dekra. He's trying to explain the halacha from every single pasuk. V'chein Rabbi Shimon kol ha'omid lizro kizrok dami. Anything that's about to be thrown is already thrown. Meaning what? The things that I intend to do, the nistar, that which is trapped in my mind, it's as if it's already taken place in the world of Maisa. Shemachshav la'asid ha'nisteris ki'iluhu po'al nigla. The nistar and the nigla work hand in hand. That which I intend to do is as if it's already done. And what about in the Zohar? The opposite is true. The Zohar, which is all secrets, the Zohar says, Rabbi Shimon kol miloy beskalia. Rabbi Shimon, everything you say is open. It's begiloy. So the Nistar and the Nigla work hand in hand, and that's how he concludes, HaNistar v'HaNigla ke'echad. Rabbi Shimon got it right, and Elisha ben Avuya got it wrong. The Gemara says that Elisha ben Avuya was kitzeitz benetios, he chopped down the trees. What was the idea of chopping down the trees? We said it's this idea of uprooting Torah and mitzvot, but what's happening on a deeper level? So the Rav Chaim Vital writes in his Akdamah to the Shar Akdamah, explaining what's supposed to happen when a person studies Kabbalah. He says, "V'ikr magamaso," source 37, "V'ikr magamaso biyadia hazeh." If you're going to study this stuff, you know what it's about? Yelavar hakotzim min hakarem. The purpose of studying Kabbalah is to uproot the thorns, not the trees. To uproot the thorns in our life, to get rid of our yetzer hara, to make ourselves better Jews, not to exempt ourselves from mitzvos. That's where Elisha ben Avuya ruined himself. He thought, as long as I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as I'm living on the banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichu, I can do whatever I want. Take the mashal of a kid, right? The child, the prince of the king. He has permission to do whatever he wants. He goes, he takes the king's crown, he puts it on his head, he's having a good time. What happens if an Eved does the same thing? Off with his head, he'll be killed on the spot. We have to learn to be both avadim and banim. And that's what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai tells us in source number 38. He says, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, ikrin Yisrael l'kut shebrichu ba'avadim." The Jewish people are called avadim. Additionally, line 2, "Ve'ikrin banim, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem." We're avadim and we're banim. How does it work? Bizmana diyadalei barnash l'kut shebrichu ba'orech klal. When we only know Hashem in a general way, when we don't connect with Hashem deeply, right? So what are we? Ikri eved. We're called an eved. Da'avid pekuda demari v'leslu reshu l'chapsa b'gnizeh. We're like an Eved who doesn't have permission to poke his head around in the king's inner chambers. Uverazin de Beisei, the secrets of his house. Bizman adiyadah le barnash b'orech prat. When we understand Hashem on a personal level, on a pneumiastical level. Kedein ikri ben rachim adile. Then we're called his beloved son. So which is the ikr? To be an Eved? To be a ben? Says the Zohar HaKadosh. Va'afal gav, where it's bolded. Va'afal gav the ikri ben barab bukhra lekutcha brichu. Yes, we're called the ben b'chor Yisrael, b'ni b'chor Yisrael. Yet at the same time, you got to keep your feet on the ground. Lo yifa garmei miklola de Eved. You can't stop being an Eved. Just because you're a ben, you have to still be an Eved. And that's the bottom line, and that's where Elisha ben Avuya got messed up. He thought, if I'm such a ben, I could poke my head around in the Nistaros, I could fly in the Shemayim, I'm putter from all the mitzvahs. And that's why when the baskol comes out, it says, Elisha ben Avuya, you lost yourself. What does it say? Shuvu banim shovavim. You got lost at being a ben. You got carried away with being a ben. You thought that because you're so close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you know the Pnimiyas HaTorah, you're exempt from the external aspects of Torah. He lost himself completely. So now we come back to Rabbi Shimon, but now we come back to Elisha ben Avuya's mission. Halomed zaken, you want to learn like a zaken. The Tzemach Tzadik of Vishnu says that on Lag BaOmer, if you take Lag, letters Lamed and Gimel, and you spell it out, Lamed Gimel, you spell out the letters, is Gematria zaken. Elisha ben Avuya is all about Lag BaOmer. He was so close, but he ruined himself. He missed it. He missed the punchline. He wanted to be a ben, he wanted to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted the same things that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wanted, but he lost himself. He saw the Malach Matatron sitting in Shemayim. He said, these are Shtei Rishuyos. The Gemara and the Zohar are two different worlds. Why do you think the Malach Matatron was taken out and whipped with 60 fiery whips? Why 60? The 60, I think. The 60 alludes to the 60 Masechtos of Shas. 60 fiery whips to say that you ruined Elisha ben Avuya because you gave him the impression that the Gemara is not fiery. It doesn't have this pneumius of the Zohar. But it's all like the Gross said, there's no contradiction between the two. It's all one and the same. Right? You can't give up the halacha for the sake of the pnimiyas haTorah. The halacha is, I'll prove it to you, one final idea from the halacha itself. Right? The halacha is, if a drop of ink falls on a sefer Torah, and now I have this black blob, and I want to shape a letter from it, so I want to erase the black to etch out the white, you're not allowed to do that. It's called chok tochos. You're not allowed to erase the middle, remove the black to create white. What's the idea? The halacha is saying you can't erase the black to create white. You can't erase the halacha to create pnimiyas haTorah. If you think that the way to become a more spiritual Jew is to uproot the halacha, then you're Elisha ben Avuya, then you're Acher. Then you've missed the message of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and you've missed the message of Rabbi Akiva. I want to just give over, for 5 more minutes, one final secret. If you'll allow me, one final secret of Lag BaOmer. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many names. Different Shemos, different names of God that are present in the world, different things we're supposed to be mechaving at different times of the year. And the Arizal writes in the Shara Kavanos in the Drush for Pesach, he says that the name for Lag BaOmer is the following. Take a look at source number 40. Thank you all for bearing with me. 5 more minutes, and we'll really be done. And I hope you enjoyed. The Arizal writes in the Shara Kavanos, he says, Uvvo Yom Lag BaOmer, Oz Niskala Shem Aleph Chaf Dalid Tesna. The name of God, I'll explain what this means in a very simplistic way. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're supposed to think about that reveals itself on Lag BaOmer is this Kabbalistic name, Aleph Chaf Dalid Tesmem. What is that? Vehinehu Chilav Shem Elokim. If I were to think about God's name of Din, a name of divine justice, it's the name Elokim. If I want to talk about the divine justice of Hashem stopping, exactly what happened in Lag BaOmer, where the Din against the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva stopped, where all the harshness against the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva came to an end, I want to stop the din. I want to pull back the din. Says the Arizal, the name of Lag BaOmer, you take the name Elokim, and you move each of the letters back one letter. So an Aleph, you move back an Aleph, well, an Aleph has nowhere to go, so it stays an Aleph. You move back a Lamed, it becomes a Chaf. You move back a Hey, right, Elokim, a Hey, it becomes a Dalet. You move back a Yud, it becomes a Tes. You move back a Mem, Sofi, it becomes a regular mem. So the aleph and the mem stay the same. The three middle letters change. The lamed becomes a chaf. The hey becomes a dalid. And the yud becomes a tes. Says the Arizal, the three letters that change is gematria 33. Lag BaOmer. This is the secret of Lag BaOmer. This is the concept of softening the din. The Elokim comes to an end. The Arizal goes further. And he says, it's also connected to the concept of bitachon. And it's hinted to in the pasuk, bitru ba'ashem ade'ad. How so? He says, if you add up the gematria of Aleph, Aleph, Chaf, Dalet, Tes mem. It's gematria 74, which is gematria ad. Bitruva Hashem ade ad. This is what the Arizal tells us. He doesn't really explain what it means, right? Gematria 74. You take the whole name of God equals 74. Gematria ad, right? 74 plus the kolal is bitachon. This is a shame of bitachon. What does all this mean? You pull back Hashem's name, the name Elokim. You move it back one letter, right? It's a name of bitachon. How does this connect to everything we've said about Elisha ben Avuya and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai? So the final point is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says there was a pasuk that Elisha ben Avuya got messed up by. A pasuk in Kohelis that says, Tov achris davar merishiso. And I'll just share with you outside, the Yerushalmi quotes it, Tosfos quotes it in Source 41 of Maseches Chagiga. But Elisha ben Avuya is talking to Rabbi Meir about this pasuk in Kohelis. Tov achris davar merishiso. Right? The end of a matter is better than the beginning. So Elisha ben Avuya says, this is the pasuk that ruined me. I was this pasuk. How was I this pasuk? How was I the living example of this pasuk? He says, when I was a boy at my bris milah, my father was one of the wealthy gvirim of Yerushalayim. He invited all the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim to my bris. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua sat up on the side, and they were learning Torah in such a way that a fire was coming down from the Shemayim. And my father walked in and he said, are you trying to burn down my house? Are you trying to destroy me? And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua explained, no, we're just learning Torah. Says Avuya, the father of Elisha ben Avuya, if this is what Torah is, I want my son to live a life of Torah. And says Elisha ben Avuya, because my father only wanted me to study Torah, to get to that level of the fires, to get to the tricks, the wonders, the Kabbalistic wonders, I was ruined from the start. It was lo l'shem shemayim. My whole being was ruined from that. Elisha ben Avuya's understanding of Tov achris davar merishiso, the pasuk in Kohelis in the seventh parak, Tov achris davar merishiso. The end is better than the beginning. Once I get to the level of Kabbalah, I'm no longer bound by the level of halacha. The achris is better than the rishis. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, that's not how it works. Tov achris davar merishiso means what? That the end is only good merishiso, from the beginning. If I'm able to connect the end and the beginning, if I can connect the world of sod and the world of pshat, then I'm going to be a complete Jew. But if I abandon the rishis for the achris, if I abandon the simplistic level of observance of mitzvos to try to get high on spiritual levels, I've undermined the Torah in its entirety. And that's how Elisha ruined himself. And the Yitav Lev points out, beautifully, the same pasuk that was the deciding factor in the life of Rabbi Akiva, and the thing that ruined Elisha ben Avuya. Look at source number 42, an amazing thing. He says, Ki tov achris davar merishiso is Rashi Tevos Aleph Chaf Dalet Hasmem, the name of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is all about this yisod, about being able to connect the rishis and the achris, to stay grounded in the world of pshat, while I'm still striving and longing for the world of sod. And I thought of an amazing remez. When the Baskol comes out of Shemayim, it says, Shuvu banim shovavim. Shuvu banim shovavim. Elisha ben Avuya, you lost yourself. So it's amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me find. Shuvu banim shovavim is gematria, what? The pasuk that the Rizal said, Bitchu ba'Hashem adeyad, ki baka Hashem tzorolam, 776. Shuvu banim shovavim. This is what the Rizal was hinting to. This is the secret of the name of Lag BaOmer. This is the secret of Bitchu ba'Hashem adeyad. And Elisha missed the final call. Or maybe on his deathbed he got it. Yerushalmi concludes, Rabbi Meir was standing by Elisha ben Avuya as he's about to die. And he's begging him to do tshuva. And he quotes from the pasuk, Tashev enosh ad daka. He says a person can do tshuva ad daka, till the last minute. Ad, 74, the shame of Lag BaOmer. Aleph Chaf Dalet Hasmem Gematria, 74. You could still do tshuva, it's not too late. And Rabbi Meir says, I'm not sure, but I think that my Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, perhaps died amidst tshuva, with a feeling of tshuva. He finally got it right at the very end. This is what Lag BaOmer is about. This is the secret of our generation. Why is it that us, the lowest generation, are connected to the highest secrets of Torah? That's Tov Achris Davar Merishiso. On the one hand, we're such racist Jews, we're such beginners, such simple Jews, and at the same time, we're connected to the Achris, we're connected to the highest levels, the secrets of the Torah. And that's why Lag BaOmer, the day of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, you have the biggest tzaddikim traveling to Meron, you have the simplest Jews traveling to Meron, Jews who keep halacha in the most basic way, Jews who don't even keep halacha yet. But it's the most simple and the greatest, the loftiest and the most basic coming together. It's the world of halacha, the world of pshat, binding itself with the world of zohar and the world of sod. And that's what Rav Aaron of Karlin says in the second to final source. Rav Aaron of Karlin has a famous statement, Kol mi sheyesh lo amuna b'rashvi, yesh lo chizik b'rashvi. Anyone who believes in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is strengthened by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He concludes, afilu l'pachusim, even the lowest Jews. And I want to say it a little differently tonight. It's not afilu l'pachusim, it's especially the pachusim. It's dafka the lowest Jews who are most worthy in this most bizarre way, like Rav Meir of Apta told us earlier. Right? The decree not to study the secrets of the Torah was for the earlier generations. But in our time, we're zocha to dabble on some small level through Chassidus, through the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, to get a glimpse of the Torah of Mashiach. The Jews in our time were longing for it. We have that inner spark, that inner desire. Perhaps this is the final reason and the final source. Perhaps this is the reason. Who was the Talmud? Who was the Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? On his deathbed, he told, "You're going to be the one to record the Torah. You're going to be the one to write it down as Rabbi Abba." And I think if I could say such a thing, I don't know if it's MS. It's interesting though. Abba is Rosh HaYitevos Elisha ben Avuya. Rabbi Abba is the tikkun for Elisha ben Avuya. The tzaddik was so close. The tzaddik who just missed it. The contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, who could have been alongside Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in transmitting the Torah Sasod, the Torah Sanista. But he so nearly missed it. Because he missed the main message of Lag BaOmer, the ability to bind Achris and Rishis. So I thank you all for being patient with me. Amir Hashem, we should all strive to be Banim. We should all strive to be Avadim. To strike that balance between, again, the Torah Sasod, the Torah Sanister, and the Torah Sanigla. And Amir Hashem will all be Zocha with this Lag BaOmer to see the revelation of the Torah Samashiach from here. Amir. Shabbos, thank you.